Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Hey everyone, it's really good to be here this morning and to be able to share with you this Mother's Day. And thank you so much, Joy, for that testimony. That was really great. And thank you to Alison, who we heard from earlier, to the kids who shared, and also for the great design as well. Thanks for everyone's input in today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Alison, and for those of you who do, hi, I really miss being with you all every Sunday morning. Happy Mother's Day to all you lovely ladies out there. This morning I was treated to a 10 out of 10 fully qualified hotel service breakfast by my husband and kids, so thank you guys for that. And Zoe kept getting a bit confused, she was wishing me happy birthday. And it's actually, I was thinking about it during praise and worship there, it's actually a really great gift. I've actually been able to be in God's house today because that's one of my favourite places to be. I'll just say a quick but huge thank you to all the ladies in my life who love us, who support us and who encourage us, and there are many of you. And of course a big shout out to my mum and mother-in-law today from James, the kids and I. And mum, I'm wearing lipstick for you because I know you think I look a bit pale without it. So happy Mother's Day to you. The theme for today is With God in the Middle, and that's based on Psalm 46 verse 5. And my title is With God in the Middle of the Night. I'll go on to explain a bit more about that, but first I thought it would obviously be important to share the verse with you and a bit about its context. Psalm 46 verse 5 says, God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at daybreak. And although this verse sounds like it's written for a female, it's actually written about God's, the city of God, and for the Israelites. This verse, and indeed this chapter, was written as a reminder to God's people that he is with them and he will help them. And it's a verse in the middle of verses that, as one commentary suggested, tell a story of a time when people were afraid, the earth was crumbling, and they were searching desperately for hope and safety. Maybe this sounds a bit familiar today. Although this was written for the Israelites, the New Testament is written for all believers, and that has similar encouragement and promises for us. Hebrews 13:5 says, never will I leave you or forsake you, and that the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. And just like it says in Psalm 46 that God is within her, the city of God, 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in your midst? So we know that God is within us as believers in his church. And so this verse can apply to men and women. It doesn't just have to be for the ladies today. Going back to this idea of with God in the middle of the night, there's so much I could have said, but I'm focusing on the literal use of the word, and that's the period of darkness between sunset and sunrise. This period of time, particularly the middle of the night, is typically the time when we get to sleep and rest. And if you joined in with Life Group on Wednesday, you would have heard about the importance of a good night's sleep for a giving us a good sense of well-being, mentally, physically, emotionally, and even relationally. This is being promoted a lot just now, and do you know, just to tie in really well with what I'm saying today, that today is the first sleep of Sleep Awareness Week. It was brought to my attention by a shop emailing me and encouraging me to buy new PJs and bed covers for it. The 19th of March, which is this week, is also World Sleep Day. And if you aren't aware of the benefits of a good night's sleep, or if you need some practical tips and advice on how to get that, then check out websites like the NHS, the Sleep Charity, Sleep Council for information. This being said, many of us are aware of the benefits of a good night's sleep and know some things that we could do to try and help us with that. But from my own experience and from listening to other people's experiences, getting the recommended amount of 7 to 9 hours of sleep each night is sometimes more difficult than it sounds. Sometimes it might be due to our bad choices and decisions. For example, staying up to watch that fourth episode in a row of a Netflix series, or playing video games online with your friends, or you're kept up listening to your husband shouting as he plays video games online with his friends, or it could be scrolling through social media. At other times, though, it might just feel impossible to get that sleep that our body needs. Our sleep can be compromised by busy lifestyles, juggling work, family, housework, and other commitments that we have. or it might be impacted by the stresses that we face and that we feel, and by the weight of the demands that are placed upon us. Thoughts can keep running through our mind when we try to sleep about that work situation or concern that we have about a family member. And unfortunately, the current climate in which we live might be compounding these problems even further. It might be that you have young children who like to wake you up in the middle of the night, or you have or someone in your family has medical needs that need attended to. I've always been someone who's taken a bit of time to fall asleep. My dad would tell you that, as he had to count sheep up to 100 and all the way back down again when I was wee. And I've always been a bit of a light sleeper. But over the past 7 years, having three young kids, my sleep has been greatly affected, and it's been woken up most nights, sometimes 4 or 5 times a night. And at one point in particular, this was really impacting my physical and my mental health. And so this is a wellbeing issue that I can really identify with. Night after night of getting little sleep can be extremely frustrating. And if you think you need support, then please make sure you speak to someone or maybe even contact your GP. Having recently experienced a struggle with falling asleep and staying asleep and getting back to sleep, I was reminded about the toll that this can have on health. However, during this time, I listened to a podcast by Stephen Furtick, and it was called Focus on the Fruit. I know he's quoted a lot here. But this really helped me have a perspective shift. And rather than focus on the frustrations, it encouraged me to think about all the possibilities of the fruit that might come, the good things, the good outcomes that might come from having sleepless nights. Often when I try to fall asleep, I pray. And if I wake up during the night to try and help me get back to sleep, I begin to pray as well. I pray about my situations, for my children, for my family and friends, and other prayer needs that I'm aware of. Often at night, my thoughts and my fears become amplified, and in the middle of my desperation, I call out to God in the middle of the night. Last weekend, we were listening to a wee 90s podcast on Spotify, and a song came on that I hadn't heard for years. And as it played, memories came flooding back of a playlist that it used to be on that helped me to fall asleep. And it also reminded me of the hopes and the dreams and the prayers that I had in my heart at that time that I'm now I see them being lived out today. What prayers might you make as you lie awake that one day you will see answered and see the fruit of? Maybe you'll remember the nights that you lay awake praying for these things. Are there dreams that you have in your heart that you could talk to God about in the middle of the night and one day see him do more than you could ever expect or imagine with these? Instead of letting our imaginations run wild with what ifs, instead we could think, what if God, and grasp a hold of the vision that he has for our lives. He is available at all times, and Psalm 121 reminds us that God doesn't slumber, and that he is our shade at night. Continuing to think about prayer, can we pray some scriptures over our situations, like Proverbs 3:24, which says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Or Psalm 4:8, in peace I lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. You could ask others for prayer too, and as you overcome this, you might see the fruit of having a testimony of how God had helped you or prayer had helped in your situation. We had to do this for my daughter, and eventually after lots of prayer, we did see her start to settle down. So thank you to everyone who prayed. We heard Fiona's testimony last week of how on the nights when she couldn't sleep because of worry, she would praise and worship and thank God for all the his goodness in her life. I heard Louis Giglio speak about this as well one time. And he shared that at one point in life, he was waking up anxious, he was panicking, he was having physical symptoms because of this, and it was praise and worship that got him through that as well. Can we use this to gain victory over our sleeplessness and our anxious thoughts and fight our battles in this way, giving us peace? Stephen spoke last week about having a quiet time to listen to God. Although we might not want it to be, could this be your time to do that? Instead of tossing and turning, could we be still and know that he is God, which is an instruction given to us also in Psalm 46. Cast all your cares on him, and as you lie in the still and quiet of the middle of the night, free from distraction, can you listen for God, for what God wants to say to you, or ask him, is there something that you want to say to me? There are many examples of God speaking to people or in people encountering God during the night. In the Bible, one example is when Abraham was outside and he was taken outside and shown the sky and given the promise that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars. One night I woke up with a verse in my head. It wasn't one that I was familiar with, but then looking that up and from a few different things, I was given the promise of having a baby boy, which I held on to until I had Theo. Other examples of people hearing from or encountering God in the Bible during the night include Samuel being called on 4 times by God, Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord until dawn, the angels appearing to the shepherds at night as they watched their flocks, and Peter walking on the water with Jesus before dawn. The Bible also tells the story of Paul and Silas in prison, and it says, at about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Then there was a violent earthquake that opened the prison doors and caused the prisoners' chains to break loose. What chains might he break for you as you seek him in the middle of the night? Powerful things can happen at this time too. And as I reflected on all of these things, I realised that in fact, in the middle of the night, this is when my dependence upon and my relationship with God has been greatly strengthened, and I've been able to build up a secret history with him, times when it was just him and I. Of course, if you wake in that hour or half hour just before your alarm goes off, your thoughts start to think of the day ahead, and you might think, I'm so tired, how am I going to get through the day? And there have been many mornings when I've thought like this. But once again, I've had to turn to God and my ever-present help and ask that he will give me the strength and energy and help with the challenges that the day might present. Isaiah 40, verse 29 says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And going back to Psalm 46, verse 5, it says in the promise that God won't let the city fall and he will help it at daybreak, and I know that he'll do the same for us. There's a story in the Bible about Elijah, and he was allowed to rest. God allowed him to rest and wake him for food to strengthen him, and then allowed him to rest again. God came alongside Elijah and realised that the journey was too great for him, and God met Elijah's need the way that he will meet ours, and we even heard Joy talking about that this morning in our testimony. In some contrast to this, though, I read a passage last week in Judges 8, about Gideon and his troops. And in verse 4 it said, and though exhausted, they continued to chase the enemy. They asked for food from others, but in their tiredness and weakness, they didn't receive it. But even then, they pressed on and experienced victory with God on their side. So until that day comes, when you get all the sleep that you need, I hope that this might be an encouragement to you, and that you would see victory in your life, and that you would have patience as you wait on that. This maybe doesn't apply to your situation today, but maybe it will one day. And over the last few weeks, we've heard Stephen and Michael talk about the serious. And hopefully this will be another step that we can take in helping us become more crisis-proof in an uncertain world. And for all those who aren't getting the sleep they need, and indeed for everyone who's listening today, I finish by praying the words over you that Deborah spoke over the Israelites in Judges 5, verse 31. But may those who love the Lord rise like the sun in all its power. Thank you. And I'm now going to pass over to Elizabeth for what she's got to say this morning.
Thank you, Alison. That was so, so good. And I'm sure has been a blessing to many. And I'm sure we can all appreciate those times. Well, I'm Elizabeth, and like Alison, I feel really privileged to be here on Mother's Day, even though this is slightly out with a comfort zone, but it's definitely a privilege. I spent some time praying into that thought of God in the middle, and I felt a very strong phrase come to the mind, and that it was God in the middle of your nowhere. And I know many of us, me included, have found that lockdown life and restriction have put life into a bit of a no man's land. And quite often we might just feel like we're stuck in the middle of nowhere, almost lost and yearning for a life that we once knew or a life that we were dreaming of. Maybe you've had times when you felt like this even before a global pandemic hit us with full force. I was reminded of a time a few years ago when I was with a primary 7 class at their school camp, and my particular role at that time was to accompany a pupil who had recently experienced some trauma in their life. And whilst they were processing some change and some grief in their life, their behaviour at times could be quite volatile. And at the end of a great week, on the very last afternoon, a high ropes activity just tipped that pupil over the edge. And their response to that was just to flee the scene, run into the woods that was beside us. And of course, that left me pursuing after them. You won't be surprised to know that the P7 child was much faster at running than I was. So all my energy was focused on not losing sight of them and also trying to reassure them, encouraging them just to stop and wait. It was going to be okay. So on that journey of pursuing them, I wasn't really paying attention to any direction or landmarks. So when the running stopped, we found ourselves in what seemed like the middle of nowhere. Obviously, I was trying to stay really calm and cool and put a brave face on, but I'm not going to lie, inwardly, I was panicking. I was also exhausted. My fitness levels were not at their peak. I still don't think they're at their peak. I was also running after them in hiking boots, some very glamorous waterproof trousers, and a very heavy jacket. I checked my mobile phone. We had no phone signal. I couldn't call anyone for help. I felt highly responsible for this pupil. And I'm also very aware that I have a very poor sense of direction. So altogether, it was not looking good. I was really worried about getting back to camp safely as I genuinely couldn't work out the way back. If you like, I literally couldn't see the wood for the trees. And I was also really annoyed because I felt like we'd fallen at the last hurdle. The idea was for this pupil to come and have an amazing experience, and the whole week had been so good, and this last activity had triggered them, and to them, the whole experience had been ruined, which was just so frustrating. But as I reflected, as God brought that experience back to my mind, everything that I felt and thought in that moment, we can all experience at some point in our lives feeling lost, feeling stuck in the middle of nowhere, feeling a bit lonely, cut off from others, a sense of heightened experience and responsibility, anger, confusion, lack in direction, having to put a brave face on, covering it up for others, not sharing what's really going on, exhaustion, and even an element of fear. Now, we might just go to that place on an occasional day trip, or like me, you might end up there by accident due to events out with your own control. We might be led there by others, or maybe we feel like we've lived there for a long, long time, feeling purposeless, pointless, and disappointed in ourselves. But I want to tell you today that that's not how God wants you to feel about life. It doesn't have to be that way. I read in an article that often it's when we feel lost, that's when we best receive God's sermon. So if that's you, I hope you're listening to what we want to share with you today. God has you just where he wants you to be. We might feel lost in the middle of nowhere, but God knows exactly where we are. He sees us, and what's more, he's not forgotten about us. That cocktail of emotions I described earlier, that need for direction, if we take that to God, then I believe that that place in the middle of nowhere can become a place of real transformation. Just where we are, if we stop and wait on him, we will find his love. He's not abandoned us. He's not lost signal with us. We're not cut off from his communication. It feels like in the middle of nowhere to us, but not to God. He has no boundaries. God, unlike me, has a great sense of direction. He knows exactly where you are in life, and what's more, he's got a plan for where you're going. It's in these places of waiting where God's work really gets started. In the middle of nowhere is sometimes his best working ground, where he molds us and grows patience, endurance, perseverance, and contentment. I really like the promise in Isaiah 41:10. It's so reassuring. It says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." In Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you." So even when we feel in the middle of life's nowhere, he doesn't abandon us. He is there, ever present, and always loving us. It's often in that nowhere place that God is preparing, reforming and transforming us to do his work. Even though we feel we've drifted into no man's land, doesn't mean that life's gone completely wrong or astray. It's here we can actively choose to trust, grow and sow. One thing I've learned through experience is that where we sow faith, we let go of fear. And as we let go of fear, which can come in all sorts of shapes and forms, it can be fear of failure, fear of what other people think, fear of letting others down or not being good enough. When we let go of this, this is where our true purpose can often surface. Well, you'll be relieved to know that myself and the young person did find our way back to camp safely. We were not stuck in the middle of nowhere forever. How did we manage it, I hear you ask? Well, quite simply, the first thing I did was to pray. I took a minute to be still, to take a breath, and I spoke to God. I asked for his help, and I asked that the Holy Spirit would lead us back to safety. And you know, when we need any kind of direction in life, this has to be the place that we start. Often when things seem confused, muddled, or unclear, when we stop, take time, pray, surrender to him completely and really listen to his will, then the situation can become as clear as a bell. Often we see things that we never even had a glimpse of before. We also need to dig deep into his word to guide us. The Bible really is the only and the best handbook and guide to our life. Every day brings a fresh new word. And you know, I'm always amazed that when I'm doing my daily readings, that even verses that I've read before, they can bring a whole new fresh meaning to really speak into situations that I'm facing. To get back to that campsite, we had to take a step. We could have stood still, we could have just waited and hoped that a search party would come along for us, but that could have taken quite a while and could have created more distress. But by taking a step in what we felt was the right direction, God got us back to the camp safely. Sometimes we had to stop and we had to reevaluate and we had to think again, but we got there. In life, sometimes we have to take a step. We can pray, but if we don't obediently step out, then we won't achieve anything. If we're praying for a new job, for example, or a change of career, we're not going to achieve this if we don't fill in the application form or go for the job interview. I love the Passion Translation of Proverbs 19:21. It says, "A person may have ideas concerning God's plan for their life, but only the designs of God's purposes will succeed in the end. So don't give up seeking or following that purpose in your life, even if it means waiting." Seek and follow are both verbs, they're both doing words. So we must be active with God in the pursuit for his plan. As I was trying to make sure that the young person I was with stayed calm and was okay and had no idea that I had no idea where I was going, we turned our return to camp into a bit of an adventure. We were pretending that we were in one of those Bear Grylls adventure shows. And I don't know about you, but since I said yes to Jesus a number of years ago and invited him into my life has been a great adventure. He has taken me and guided me into situations I never would have dreamed or orchestrated for myself. It's not always been plain sailing in that adventure, but I've always had God as a close companion on the voyage, even in the stormy waters, and I wouldn't have traded that adventure for anything else. He's given me joy, peace, so many blessings, and an abundance of unconditional love. Joshua 1 verse 9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." He is with us. Wherever you are right now, wherever you're going, he will lead us. It's okay. And you know, when I got back to that campsite, I realised that I was not as far away as I thought I was. And maybe your nowhere is not quite as remote as you think. Don't stay stuck in the middle of nowhere. Ask God today to begin that transformation, to begin that journey and take a step. And you know, if we can help you with that, you can reach for the prayer button. We can pray with you. You can get in contact with someone here in church because we'd love to help you on that journey. So thank you, and I'm going to pass over. I'm sure we've saved this, the best for last, as I pass over to Diane, and she's going to come and share some more with you.
Thank you. So happy Mother's Day to all you lovely ladies out there. I know it's been said before, but we pray for you. We just appreciate all you lovely mums and all you that are maybe mums, spiritual mums to us. We're just so thank you. So thankful for every one of you. Well, we've heard so much this morning already. So much real choice meat, if we want to put it like that. And I'm so thankful for Alison and Elizabeth for sharing what they've shared today. And I was driving home one day and three words came into my mind, and I feel I'm going to speak on these three words today. And as Alison has already explained about what we're talking about today, God is in the middle of, and I'm going to talk about God is in the middle of our now. I had to get an in as well. I couldn't have Alison having a night and Elizabeth having a nowhere, so I had to have an in too. So God in the middle of our now, in the middle of our present, right here. You know, as we look back over the last 12 months, I know we've all had a different season. It's been such a different year, and a few years ago we would never have believed we'd see the world in the state it was in this last year. And you know, however we found it, if we're listening to this today, we've actually survived it. We're still here, and that's so good. And there's been so many sad stories and sad situations where, you know, people have lost their lives, and our heart really goes out to them, and we pray for them as well. You know, maybe it's brought out things in us that we don't like about ourselves. Maybe we've seen attitudes or you know, feelings rising to the surface, and we're not very happy with them, and maybe our plan is to sort them out. Maybe we've really enjoyed it. Some people I know have really enjoyed lockdown. Whatever we've done, we've maybe learned some new skills. We've maybe grown spiritually, and hopefully we have all grown a bit over the past year. But I think one thing it's certainly done, it's made us appreciate what we had and who we had in our lives before. You know, sitting around a dinner table with family is things that we really haven't been able to do. And for all you parents out there, it's maybe brought out the teacher in you, or it's maybe made you realise that you weren't cut out to be a teacher at all, and I'm sure we're all glad that the schools are going back again. But it looks like we're in for a little bit more freedom sometime soon, which is so good. And however we found it, I'm sure that we're all ready now to move ahead. Elizabeth just talked about taking that step. You know, we can't live life looking in the rear view mirror. You know, the rear view mirrors are there in the car, and they're very, very important. And it's important that we can look back and see the situation. And, you know, it's the same in life. We can look back, and maybe that pothole that we see in the road was a situation in life, and we can think, I don't want to go there again. I'm going to remember next time I drive down that road, I'm going to sort of drive round about it. And we do have to learn from our mistakes, but we can't live our life looking, or we can't drive our car either looking in those rear view mirrors. We have to look straight ahead. We have to live in the moment, live in the now. And Psalm 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Now, isn't it good to have God present with us in our now? He's in the moment with us. He's in every moment with us. And if we have that relationship with Jesus, where we've been born again into his family, we have that assurance that he is with us in our lives every day. And I just want to take a few minutes to look at these three words. And it was even before we thought about Mother's Day or anything, and these three words came into my mind. And it was God's peace, his presence, and his power. Three things that I think are very, very important and essential for our now. Jesus says in John 14, verse 27, he says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. In 1 Corinthians 7 and 15, it says that God has called his people to live in peace. And in the Psalms, we're told that God blesses his people with peace. And there's many more verses I could my northeast accent's coming out there. Many more verses I could use to illustrate this. But peace in the dictionary means the absence of war or disturbance. But you know, in the Bible dictionary, it means it's a state of rest. It points to the presence of something or someone that brings completeness, wholeness, security, and calmness. And we know who that person is. And what a wonderful feeling it is when we live in calmness, security, when we feel whole and complete. And as Christians, we can know that peace in our lives. And I pray that we will all experience his perfect peace. And I think, you know, when in the situations in life, when we think about, you know, all the worries and cares and concerns round about us, we kind of lose our focus a little bit. And sometimes we forget, maybe if you're like me, you forget that God is still in charge of everything that's going on. But, you know, when we bring our focus back to God, then we can feel his peace again. In Ephesians 6, where it talks about the armour of God, it talks about our feet fitted with the gospel of peace. And we once heard a speaker say at Cherish Conference one year, it's like getting up every morning and putting on your shoes of peace. And what a great way to walk through our day. What a great way to walk through life with our shoes of peace on. You know, worry and stress cause turmoil and chaos in our minds. But with God, and when we focus on God, we can know that richness of his peace. Alison talked about Louis Giglio experiencing God's peace coming back when he was listening to praise and worship. And I think it's so important to fill our minds with God's word, with worship and praise, and know his peace. And I'm rushing on here. And the next P was his presence. His presence changes everything. It really makes all the difference in our lives when we know that his presence is with us. His presence brings hope. It brings healing. It brings joy, satisfaction, and blessings. And, you know, I can remember as a child, there's times that you're scared. Maybe you're going to the dentist. Maybe you've woken up with a bad dream. And all that you want is your mum or dad there. And, you know, having your parents there, or one of your parents, or someone that you love right with you, makes all the difference. You know, God is our Heavenly Father. And having him with us through life, his presence, makes all the difference. In Psalm 23, in verse 5, it says that you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And you know, none of us likes to be in the presence of enemies, and hopefully we don't have that amount of enemies. But you know, our enemies can be adversity and trying times. And God prepares, he furnishes that table for us with everything that we need to protect us, to provide for us, and because his presence is with us. You know, he's so good to us. He never, ever leaves us. Praise and worship brings the presence of God. And when we feel his presence, it's just an amazing feeling to be together in the presence of God. And we've so missed that over this last year. And we're looking forward to days when we can all meet together in his presence. So he can be with us. He is with us right where we are. And you know, he can be with me and he can be with you because he's omnipresent. He can be with each one of us. Another P is God's power. You know, I believe every day we see God's power at work. I think humanly we often associate power with physical strength or superheroes or power struggles. But I think God's power is knowing his strength every day in difficult situations, in good situations, just knowing that his power is there and it's available for us. He gives us the power to make wise choices. He gives us the power to resist temptations. God's power also heals and it restores and it turns situation around. I could see his power in creation as I was driving here this morning. There was a beautiful rainbow over the Ochil Hills. It was so beautiful and we see his power displayed. And I think there's hundreds of things that we can see his power in. Every single day. As we look back over Bible stories that we've heard as children, what about Daniel in the lion's den? God protected Daniel in there because he gave his power, kept the lion's mouth shut. Sometimes I need God's power to keep my mouth shut. And you know, often we just see God, and if we just put up that quick prayer, his power just helps us in our situation. What about Peter when he walked on water? God's power was there, even defied gravity, and Peter was able to walk on the water as long as he fixed his eyes on Jesus. So God's power is on display everywhere. You know, the great Harry Houdini, the escape artist, he always managed to escape whatever, you know, situation he seemed to be in. But one day, he was doing this experiment and they put him in a cell. And the guard walked away and Houdini took out his pin, what was kept in his belt, and tried to escape. And he couldn't get the lock to open. And after 2 hours, he was getting so, so frustrated. The guards came back. Houdini kept listening for the click of the lock opening, and it never, ever happened. And you know what? The door was never locked. So they never, ever locked that cell, should I say. So that was why he couldn't get it open, because it was never locked. But in his mind, that was where the cell was locked. And, you know, often our mindset keeps us confined because we don't trust in God's power. Maybe we have a closed mindset. Maybe we think God should, you know, work in this way, that way, or the next way. But God can work in any way. And very often that lock is in our mind. You know, it must be 25 years or, well, maybe even more since I stood here and spoke on my very first Mother's Day a long, long time ago. And my now was a very different situation from what it is now. I was a young mum bringing up children, and Michael and I had to call on God and ask him many, many times to be our help in this present situation that we were in. We needed his guidance and help to bring up our family, to lead church. And you know, he's never let us down. Have we always made the right decisions? Probably not. But I think if we make them with the right motive, God can use his power to turn that situation around. You know, have things always turned out as we wanted? Again, probably not. But God's way is perfect. You know, now I'm a granny and I still need God's power in my life every day. He's been and he is my very present help in every situation. You know, don't let us be locked up in our situation thinking that God can only work in one specific way. Maybe that door for you is open. Tap into God's power and be free. Know his peace. Know his presence. Know his power. You know, we've had to shift our mindset many, many times and open up to more of God. There are lots of ways that God shows his power, his peace, and his presence in the now. I could have used his protection, his provision. There's lots of things. And I'm just so thankful that God is there for us every moment of every day, and that he is my present help in every situation.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.